This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine, wherein we share all the vital health stories that come across our airwaves every week. And we're going to take your phone calls. We'll invite you into the doctor's office for a consult, 877-726-8255. Everything is grist for the mill as long as it has to do with intelligent medicine, the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255. And a new feature. We're taking your calls live today at 877-726-8255. But here's a new innovation. You can also use that number 24/7. To record your health questions. And we may play your question on a future broadcast, so you've got all kinds of access. 877-726-TALK. And among the stories we're going to cover this weekend, resveratrol for treating depression and anxiety. Breast implants. There's a new big recall on a certain type of popular breast implant, and vitamin D for diabetes. Big new study on the effects of vitamin D on the progression of that disease. But first, this. Imagine an auto showroom which features dangerous cheap cars. I mean, cars where the wheels can come off, or the steering wheel can break off in your hand, or the brakes don't work. And all those cheap, dangerous cars are displayed up front with deep discounts. With the more expensive safe cars with, say, collision protection features and seat belts behind a curtain and costing more. Or here's another scenario. Cheap discount rates on prominently advertised airlines with terrible crash records. Airlines where, you know, you pays your money and you takes your chances. You know, $29 fees from New York to Chicago, but your likelihood of arriving intact is about 50%. Or how about an unregulated marketplace for recreational drugs? You know, a place where you can go and you can buy speedballs and downers and ecstasy. And oh, by the way, ads on TV that guarantee prompt free delivery of any drugs that you want. You think any of those would fly in America or really be a workable proposition? Well, this story from the UK's Telegraph newspaper, headline, supermarkets are designed to make us fat, according to a new survey. And that's a big duh story, because we've known about this for a long time. Supermarket designs are calculated to make us fat, according to the study by the Royal Society for Public Health. It found that sweets, chips, and other unhealthy foods were placed far more prominently than other fare, making it harder for shoppers to resist. Basically, the proposition is to sell more cheap crap with high margins, cheap to manufacture, attractive, addictive, and ultimately expensive. The research found that 9 in 10 products on display at eye level were unhealthy. And 7 in 10 of all food and drink products on display were those which contribute significantly to children's sugar and calorie intake, according to the analysis. They also discovered, after a survey of 2,000 shoppers, 1 in 3 had, quote, impulse bought unhealthy snacks because they were on sale. Although Britain has the worst obesity rates in Western Europe, with 2 in 3 adults overweight or obese, well, the same could be said of America, because the food offerings here are even worse. This according to a study from Northwestern University. Headline, America's packaged food supply is ultra-processed. They say that Americans are overexposed to products that are high in calories, saturated fat, sugar, and salt. And that's a big duh. About 80% of Americans' total calorie consumption comes from store-bought foods and beverages, packaged and unpackaged. And the food and beverage supply plays a central role in the development of chronic diseases, including obesity and cardiovascular disease. And there you have it, the study published in the July 24th edition of the journal Nutrients. And what can be done about that? Well, in England, not likely very much, because the new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has vowed to end, quote, the continuing creep of the nanny state, and he's pushing back on initiating so-called sin taxes on sugary, salty, and fatty foods. So, you know, yeah, there's government regulation on your cars. There's government regulations on your planes to protect your safety. There's government regulations on the availability of drugs. Unfortunately, a lot of bad drugs creep through the regulatory process. But you can't just willy-nilly expose yourself to all manner of hazard when it comes to those commonly consumed items. But when it comes to food, well, you pays your money and you takes your chances. And in fact, it's even worse than just a random risk. Many of the foods that are highly promoted are precisely those foods which put you at risk of disease and death. So a very paradoxical situation here, because we know that, people die due to accidents, but the vast majority of diseases and things that run up our healthcare costs are directly related to our diets. And the system that we have for delivering food is not a system that is designed to fulfill our physiological needs and promote our health. It's designed to please our taste buds and light up our brains and get us hooked on high-calorie, delectable treats. Strange situation, but is the answer governmental control, sin taxes, or simply education, getting more people like you, Intelligent Medicine listeners, aware of the perils that lurk in supermarket aisles. 877-726-8255. I know a lot of you are health conscious, and you do your best to avoid temptation. This item, and, you know, something we've been talking about for quite some time, the benefits of vitamin D. Headline from the European Society of Endocrinology, vitamin D supplementation may slow diabetes progression. So this study was done in newly diagnosed patients with diabetes, also those with pre-diabetes. They may have what's called metabolic syndrome, an upward creep in hemoglobin A1C, or poor tolerance of carbohydrate meals resulting in high blood sugars, but not outright diabetes. This published in the European Journal of Endocrinology. The study found that high-dose supplementation of vitamin D could improve glucose metabolism and thus help prevent the development and progression of diabetes. Now, what's unique about that study is they didn't just use standard amounts of vitamin D, say 400 or 800 international units, or even 1,000 international units of vitamin D. That's well above the current RDA. But they used 5 to 10 times the recommended dose of vitamin D. So anywhere in the range of 2,000, 4,000 international units of vitamin D. And of interest is that, well, you might say, okay, a lot of these people had low vitamin D, so fixing their vitamin D helped them. And that's maybe going to push back on the finding that vitamin D is helpful in ordinary folks, folks who have adequate levels of vitamin D. But they found that only 46% of the study participants, that's still quite a lot, had low vitamin D levels at the start of the study. But that means that 54% of them actually had decent levels of vitamin D, and yet vitamin D had a therapeutic effect. Supplementation with vitamin D significantly improved the action of insulin in the muscle tissue participants after 6 months. What it seems to be doing is it seems to be reducing what is called insulin resistance. That means the body is producing enough insulin, but the insulin isn't working. It appears that vitamin D may have something to do with promoting the action of insulin in muscle, which allows the utilization of sugar for energy. And that's what happens a lot in diabetes, is that sugar, sugar everywhere, the sugar builds up, and it doesn't get into the tissue, and people experience an energy brownout in their muscles, in their hearts, in their brains. That's insulin resistance, and vitamin D appears to help. 877-726-8255 is our number. We wait your phone calls. Got lots more to talk about on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, it's important to me that the supplements I recommend and use are of the highest quality. That's why I stock the Protocol for Life Balance product line at my online dispensary. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, two stand out, which help nourish your brain: Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP. Protosorb Magnesium features a patented form of magnesium that easily crosses the blood-brain barrier, delivering magnesium directly to your brain. Cogumin SLCP features optimized curcumin, which also allows free curcumin to cross the blood-brain barrier. Protosorb Magnesium and Cogumin SLCP are highly innovative products that help nourish your brain. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. For decades, I've been preaching about the importance of a regimen of basic supplements that everyone should consider a part of their daily health routine. I've received countless questions from my audience asking for a specific recommendation, so I came up with an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle, the same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com and check out my Intelligent Medicine Starter Kit, a short list of the basic supplements that I recommend as a starting point for those looking to take control of their health. They're the essential elements of a basic program that everyone could benefit from. Plus, you'll find easy-to-follow links to our heart health and immune protocols, and much more. Intelligent Medicine Lifestyle Supplement Protocols combine the products I recommend to achieve your specific goals. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number is 877-726-8255. And as we predicted a couple of months ago, we did a podcast with prominent cosmetic surgeon Dr. Sophie Bartzisch on the subject of breast implants. And she predicted that there would be a recall on a certain type of breast implant, and indeed, it's come to pass. Allergan, the makers of a certain type of breast implant, it's called a textured implant has announced a recall of their breast implants after the Food and Drug Administration cited a lymphoma link. The FDA has received reports of 573 cases of implant-associated lymphoma and 33 deaths of such patients. Now, this is not inconsequential. This is a certain type of breast implant. This does not implicate all breast implants. But just as with the Mueller hearings, the fact that these other breast implants are not specifically targeted in the recall does not completely exonerate them, because a few of the cases occurred in non-textured implants, so-called smooth implants, which are the standard type of implant. It's of interest because Allergan is about to be acquired for the price of $63 billion by a company called AbbVie, Inc. Completion of the deal is pending, and if it goes through, AbbVie is going to be inheriting quite a lot of liability for these breast implants. So this puts women with textured breast implants in kind of a quandary, because, you know, if there's a recall on your car, you just bring it into the shop and they take whatever part that's faulty out and they replace it at no cost. It's no biggie. You get a notification in the mail. It happens all the time, that there's, a recall, and, you bring your car in and they fix whatever it is, you know, the carburetor or the faulty ignition switch or the braking device or the steering wheel, alignment, you know, something that's a mechanical, can be replaced. But what do you do if you have one of these textured implants? Well, they're going to recall implants from suppliers and doctor's offices, but the FDA isn't recommending removal of implants in patients without symptoms because they say the risk of developing lymphoma, while real, is relatively low, and it's a big deal to remove an implant. There's safety risk associated with it. So they say that if you have lymphoma and you have one of these implants, you should definitely get it out. And you should also have a very thorough cleaning out of surrounding scar tissue, which might be something that promotes the lymphoma. Patients with the recalled implants should, quote, talk to their doctor if they experience symptoms, which include persistent swelling or pain near the implant. So it really is kind of a nasty situation. These textured implants created inflammation at the site, and that inflammation may have been a cancer promoter. So Allergan, the makers of Botox, they'll still make money, but they got a lot of product liability cases on their docket going forward with the merger. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number is 877-726-8255. We'll take some of your calls momentarily here on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Stay tuned.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
Looking for that perfect beach body this summer, or just trying to stay healthy? Managing your weight is so important. Weight management is more than simply calories consumed versus calories burned. Achieving your ideal weight also depends on your digestive system functioning effectively. Research has shown that one of the most important things in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of good bacteria, probiotics, in our GI tract. These friendly bacteria help regulate blood sugar, normalize our appetite, and process food that is challenging to digest with less gas and bloating. World-renowned Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is a flora balancing system that does that and more. Dr. O'Hara's carefully selected strains of live, beneficial bacteria work synergistically to optimize health, aid in the absorption of our nutrients, and help with weight management. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Get them today. Available at Sprouts, Whole Foods and Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural health retailers. Also online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Huffman here. You can call us 877-726-8255. And let's say you forget to call us during the designated time, which is noon to 2 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be greeted by a friendly message, which will enable you to leave a message with your question, 877-726-8255, and then we'll endeavor to answer it as we're about to with this caller.
Yes, I'd like to know if someone who has herpes, do you recommend taking the new shingles vaccine? I'm 77 years old. Thank you.
Okay. And that's an interesting question. The new shingles vaccine is called the Shingrix vaccine. And it's designed to supplant the previous vaccine, which I was not particularly fond of. It was called the Zostavax. The Zostavax. And the problem with the Zostavax is that if you had a pretty good immune system and you're relatively young, it worked fairly well. But if you were older and you had a poor immune system, precisely the population that's more likely to get shingles, because shingles is a reactivated chickenpox virus that kind of lurks in your system, and when your immune system vigilance dips, it reemerges and causes painful shingles. Well, the Zostavax vaccine, you know, just didn't do the job. It was only about 50% effective or even less in elderly patients. So it's been rendered obsolete by its successor, which is called Shingrix. Shingrix is a stronger vaccine, that seems to afford pretty good protection, up to 90%, even in older individuals. It's given in a two-shot series. I guess you wait about 6 or 8 weeks between Shingrix vaccinations, and then it offers you protection. So the question is, if you have herpes, will the vaccine cause you to have an outbreak of herpes, which is a related virus? You know, chickenpox and genital herpes, or herpes labialis, which is the kind of herpes that appears as a cold sore on your lips, they're all part of the herpes virus family. And so is it possible that a vaccine that is designed to protect against shingles could stimulate your immune system and cause you to have a herpes outbreak? Well, did a little research on this question, and it appears that some people with the older vaccine experienced a reemergence of their herpes. They had a herpes outbreak, but that's anecdotal. It may have been a coincidence. I haven't seen any case reports that the Shingrix vaccine has caused people to experience a reemergence of their herpes, but it's possible. And one thing that I have to say about Shingrix is when I first learned about it, it said, oh, side effects are minimal. And they always say that. Side effects, minimal, there's almost no problem, very rare, people feel fine afterwards. Well, no, it turns out that it's a strong vaccine, and while it doesn't have devastating consequences, it doesn't make people end up in the hospital with some sort of serious vaccine reaction, people do often feel under the weather with it. They can feel kind of flu-like, they have muscle aches at the site, that can also sometimes disincentivize them to get the second in the series, which really completes the immunity that the vaccine confers. So I would say if you're concerned about developing shingles, go ahead and take the vaccine. Make sure that you have good nutritional support. I would recommend taking vitamin D, or making sure that you have adequate levels of vitamin D when you take the vaccine, because vitamin D helps to support immunity and may help the vaccine work better to protect you against shingles outbreaks. That's, you know, my opinion. We'll have to see in a lot of post-marketing surveys how A, effective the Shingrix vaccine is, and B, whether or not it's causing a lot of side effects in people who receive it. But it, my opinion is, it's definitely an improvement over the previous Zostavax shot. 877-726-8255. You can call now, or you can leave a message, as did our previous caller. And let's talk a little bit about resveratrol. Headline: red wine compound shows promise for treating depression and anxiety. Resveratrol is something that a very interesting compound. It's a polyphenol that's found in red wine, and it's offered as a nutritional supplement. And I take it every day because it has heart protective and potentially brain protective effects. It is a very, very interesting compound. And the latest study from the University of Buffalo suggests that resveratrol may have anti-stress effects. How does it do that? It blocks the expression of an enzyme related to the control of stress in the brain. It works on something called PDE4, phosphodiesterase 4. An enzyme which is influenced by the stress hormone, cortisol. Cortisol regulates the body's response to stress. We actually measure cortisol when we see patients in my practice because, well, we give them kind of a report card on how much stress they're experiencing. When they have very high cortisol, this can be associated with depression. Can also be associated with higher risk for cognitive impairment, memory loss, and cortisol really explains the physiologic effects of chronic stress on the body and on the brain. And resveratrol seems to put the brakes on that. And this study was published in the journal Neuropharmacology. The researchers found that the use of resveratrol helps PDE4 expression, which ultimately can have an impact on depression and anxiety-like behavior. So, I mean, don't take resveratrol like you might take Valium or Ativan. It's not going to work immediately, like a chill pill, to make you feel relaxed and euphoric. But long term, it may take the edge off the harmful effects of chronic stress on the brain, and thus reduce the chance that you'll end up in a chronically anxious or depressed state. 877-726-8255 is our number. Okay, so a big question that comes up, I get this question a lot on this program and also from my patients. Patients come in and say their blood pressure is 150 over 85, and they go, well, I thought it was the second number that was really important when it comes to cardiovascular risk. My second number is under 90, so it's okay. Yeah, I know my first number is kind of high, but my second number, the diastolic number, is okay. The systolic number, 150, that's the first number. Blood pressure is expressed as a couple of numbers. And the definition of high blood pressure, well, it's subject to a certain amount of controversy. Some people would have it greater than 140 over 90, the standard definition of blood pressure. But recently they moved the goalposts to say that 130 over 80 is the number to shoot for, and anything above that constitutes pre-hypertension or something that you really ought to pay attention to. So which number is more important? Well, it turns out both blood pressure numbers impact cardiovascular outcomes, according to a new study. And, you know, it used to be thought that it was actually the first number that was most important, what the so-called systolic number, because they focused on systolic hypertension as a predictor of cardiovascular outcomes. Well, it turns out that it's actually both numbers that make a difference. Both numbers mattered regardless of the threshold used for hypertension, whether it be 140 over 90 or 130 over 80. So it suggests that people who have blood pressure that's a little bit over 130 over 80 but below 140 over 90, they're in a fool's paradise if they think that that's okay, because they have a somewhat higher risk of high blood pressure. And whether it's the first number or the second number, it still puts them at risk. But here's a problem. Aggressive blood pressure lowering that puts blood pressure, say, 100 over 70, may be harmful. That is what's called the J curve of blood pressure control. In other words, lowering blood pressure below a critical low point is no longer beneficial, and it may actually turn out to be harmful. Why? Well, imagine that you're trying to pump water up a gradient, uphill. That would be the case in a Manhattan high-rise like I live in. My building is 30 stories high, and there's a water tower on top of the building that delivers water to all apartments beneath it. And so that's a little like the human body, your brain being on top. And clearly too much pressure could threaten to burst that water tank on top of the building, and then it would explode and leak contents all over the apartments below. And that's the equivalent of a stroke, right? A hemorrhagic stroke where blood, a brain bleed, causes all kinds of havoc within the brain. But in the opposite scenario, okay, we say, oh, there's too much pressure in the water tank on top of the building. We want to lower the pressure, lower it very aggressively. Well, if we lower it very aggressively, not enough water is going to get to that tank, and the water supply in the apartments below is going to be limited. And in the human body, that's the equivalent of limiting the blood supply to critical organs like the brain, the heart, the kidneys, and then other problems ensue. And so blood pressure control is a delicate balance between taking the edge off high blood pressure and not over-treating to get to low blood pressure. The best way to go is through a natural approach, which emphasizes weight control, great diet, exercise to optimize blood pressure. Lowering it artificially doesn't achieve as good results as optimizing blood pressure using a natural approach. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Dance floor is open. Come on, everyone. Let's shake it.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today. Available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. These days, a lot of discussions about diet revolve around initials. IF, intermittent fasting, and TRE, which is time-restricted eating. And so let's take a look at the latest study on time-restricted eating, or sometimes referred to as time-restricted feeding, or TRF. And a variant of that is something called ETRF, which is early time-restricted feeding. That kind of goes back to the Maxim sup. It was breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and sup like a pauper. You know, we've heard that for a really long time. The idea being to front load your calories to earlier in the day. And ETRF is kind of a variant on that theme. It's about collapsing your food intake into a relatively small time window earlier in the day. So this study from the Obesity Society at Louisiana State University's Pennington Biomedical Research Center in Baton Rouge. Now, you may think, you know, Baton Rouge, that's kind of a backwater place. But when it comes to obesity research, that's the place. That is one of the top research centers that's studying obesity. Researchers have discovered that meal timing strategies such as intermittent fasting or eating earlier in the daytime appear to help people lose weight by lowering appetite rather than burning more calories, according to a report published online in the journal Obesity. The study is the first to show how meal timing affects 24-hour energy metabolism when food intake and meal frequency are matched. Okay, so what do they do here? Relatively small study, 11 adult men and women who were overweight. They were relatively young, age 20 to 45, they were overweight. So they tried two different meal timing strategies. First, an ordinary meal timing where participants ate three meals during a 12-hour period, breakfast at 8 a.m. and dinner at 8 p.m. and lunch somewhere in between. Then there was an ETRF schedule, an early time-restricted fasting schedule, where participants ate three meals over a six-hour period. Breakfast was at 8, and dinner was at 2 p.m. You think you could do that? Well, it's kind of challenging. Another way to do that is to eat breakfast later and have dinner at 6 p.m. and then stop eating. It's hard to stop eating at night, because night is kind of like the witching hour. You know, you start kick back, and you start binge-watching your favorite Netflix series, like what I'm watching, Stranger Things. And the restraint goes out the window because you're relaxing. The same amounts and types of foods were consumed on both schedules. The calories were identical. But the ETRF schedule involved fasting for 18 hours per day, while the regular control group was just 12 hours per day. So they ate breakfast at 8, they stopped at 8 o'clock at night. And what they discovered was that the researchers found that early time-restricted fasting did lower levels of the hunger hormone ghrelin and improved appetite. It also increased fat burning over the 24-hour day. So the researchers say by testing ETRF, we're able to kill two birds with one stone. These meal-timing strategies may have benefits when we're talking about getting people to lose weight. Now, here's another study. Interesting. Even in svelte adults, cutting about 300 calories a day protects the heart. So you may say, well, you know, what's the best diet for reducing heart disease? In this study, they took folks who were even of normal weight, and they just cut their calories. Just merely cut. And it wasn't about carbohydrates. It wasn't about fat. It wasn't about protein. It just meant eat less. And eating less improved all their cardiovascular parameters that measure risk for metabolic disease. There was a reduction in biomarkers of inflammation and also reduced risk for cancer and cognitive decline. So simply eat less. That's a strategy that tough to follow, but that we should all get behind. All right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be back with another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. Stay tuned.